Hey everybody, I'm Lisa Burwell, your host of VSpeaks with Conversation and Heart and Soul. I am super excited that we're working on season 3. This is day 2 of filming. And I cannot wait until we get in this conversation with Chef Jim Shirley, a culinary legend, a philanthropist, a father, an active member of the Florida food scene, highly decorated chef, and a frequent chef at the prestigious James Beard House in New York City. Jim, thank you for being here.
Hey.
And you are a highly decorated chef, and you have opened more restaurants than anybody that I know. And how do you do it? How do you do it all? And I know that you are you're self-taught as a chef.
Sure.
So that's one thing in your love of cooking, and you learned your cooking. Basically, you fell in love with it by cooking with your grandmother.
Sure, that's how you start with those things, and then. All the little pieces of my knowledge came from working with other chefs, training me, working through, whether it was French chef in Macon, Georgia, or Jim McManus back in the 80s and Jubilee.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then as all of my international stuff, I tried to find somebody's grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
It's like somebody's grandmother knows how to cook.
Yes.
That's the way to find the true recipes.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's very, very true. And one thing let's toast to a great podcast, a good conversation, and to your continued success.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We're having some Veuve. Sorry we don't have your pink stuff, but we've got, we've had it the couple of times that you weren't able to be here. Now we couldn't have it, we don't. But so Jim, right now you have Great Southern Cafe, which is a landmark in Seaside and landmark in our town. BFF, The Bay, North Beach Social, Farm and Fire, The Chicken Shack, and The Meltdown.
Right, The Meltdown on 38. It's always been a staple in Seaside also.
Right. Yeah. So because you have so many different restaurants, so many different themes and culinary styles, are you always inventing up new restaurants and themes? And how do you get that? Is that something that's intuitive, or do you know that, hey, this area doesn't have X, Y, and Z, I'm going to bring it to market?
A lot of it is that, I like to do new things. I'm looking for something else to do. So, and believe me, I love the Great Southern Cafe, but I've been cooking those dishes. I've been cooking grits y yaya since 1998.
Mm-hmm.
I've got it down.
You do.
So,
a staple.
But I'm looking for, the same thing. It's like, what else are we going to do? So that's how I get Farm and Fire or Playing Around or...
Yeah.
Even, in 2010, Kelly and I opened The Meltdown.
Right.
And it was, we just were playing with grilled cheese.
Mm. And you make the best grilled cheese.
We had done a thing for one of the chefs on Iron Chef, and we're like, well, grilled cheese is pretty cool.
Yeah, maybe we could, a staple.
Why don't we do that in this truck?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And it was a hit since the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
And that's been there for how long? Well over a decade.
It's 14 years now.
Yeah, 14 years.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy.
Fun.
So your book, Good Grit, you have that and you're going to be reprinting it soon?
I'm going to reprint some more of those. It's
yeah.
It's older than most of my employees. But
they need it. They need to know all about it.
So, but it was just a fun thing. It was an easy publication because I'd been writing for the News Journal for 7 years, and so
with your column was called Good Grits.
Good Grits, Southern Good Boy Grits. Cooks,
yeah.
And this is kind of before the Food Network and the availability of many items that you could do. So, when I was writing about stuff, I was trying to show people how to do some international foods.
Mm.
In the South, we couldn't find the ingredients.
Oh, so now what changed that makes them just so much more readily available? Like sourcing, like homegrown.
Well, everybody's keyed into who doesn't watch the Food Network or some cooking show or something like that. Back in our days, I watched the Galloping Gourmet, and there's a couple of local guys that were doing stuff. I loved it.
Yeah, local guys like Emeril.
Yeah, well, no, he was already.
He was way before.
He was later than that.
Yeah. Okay.
So that would have been, yeah.
Yeah.
But, so it was a lot of fun, but it was easier to go through and pick those out. And we'd actually had really quality photos already done.
Yeah.
Because we shot them every day. Right. You wouldn't see them in the paper because newspapers don't have
good. Yeah, right.
But they were actually usually
pretty good. So was it a funny column? Like, was it serious? What was the column like?
It's just really brief.
Okay.
It usually started with a cocktail of some sort, okay. some reason to be drinking something.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. And then a lot of times there were funny little things that had started, you know. So much that happens in the food world is kind of funny. Mm-hmm. You know, there's like somebody's, we're a very entertaining group.
Yes, you are.
As a group.
Yes, you are. In 2014, you were one of a couple of chefs at the James Beard Foundation with a Southern-inspired dinner that my husband and I got to attend, and it was my first time in the hallowed halls of the James Beard Foundation. And there was a really cool reception in the back before we had all the guests had entered. And who was there? Like, there were a lot of people.
Well, the governor, you had Miss America, you had Miss Universe, had randomly, she was,
yeah.
She goes, I love Spanish food. Can I come?
Uh-huh.
Just ran, called us out of the blue. We're like,
sure.
Of course.
Yep.
And a couple old school newscasters. And it was a very interesting group.
Yeah, it was
group.
A very interesting group. And I think I took a wrong turn. I didn't know. But I remember like just going through the kitchen and there you are and all these chefs and you're in the kitchen and I might have taken the wrong door. And I walked through the kitchen to get into the living room part of the whole place. But I mean, it's so impressive, and as I was sitting there, I'm like, how many people really do, one, get to come here, and two, even how many chefs get to cook there? And what is it like for you, and what's the first year that you ever cooked there?
So I think the first year was 2008.
Uh-huh,
yeah,
okay.
So,
and you've been there many times since then?
Six times.
Okay.
So it's really an honor because it's like the, you know, for chefs, it's the hallowed ground.
Yes.
You know, it's like where it's James Beard.
Right, so. right.
So, and the kitchen's wide open, so it's easily, you could easily walk into it. And
right,
people,
which
you know,
we did.
And we, you know, the lineup for the, before we take the food out is where you walk through to the back area. So
right.
It's a very small little kitchen.
Yeah, and that was, I think, somehow sponsored or partnered with, like, the Pensacola.
Visit Pensacola. Yes.
And then I know, like, a day before we were leaving to go to New York, I turn on Morning Joe talk show on MSNBC, and there you and Irv and a couple of other people are there, and they're interviewing you. So a couple things. One, I used to watch it all the time, that show. Tell me about like that. How did it happen? You were the one that basically spoke more than anybody else, and you were really, really comfortable on camera. Are you always comfortable on camera?
Some days.
Okay.
Some days. But you know, the thing is, Joe had been, you know, he had been our congressman before, and he was our house band at the Fish House.
He was? I
it
did
was
not
regular
know
regular Joe, and when he wasn't there, it was Nomo Joe. And it was
okay.
a guy who was the guitarist from Buttermilk. It was like a really good band. It was a really
wow.
tight band. And then it was fun when Joe would come and play and
yeah.
sing. And so it was like that. So even as he was seated congressman, he was our house
unbelievable.
Band.
I didn't know that.
So we knew him well.
Okay.
So, yeah. So,
so then you tell him what you're doing. And he's like, oh, come on my show. And all.
Oh, he goes, oh, no. That was because he was down just after Ivan struck.
Okay.
And we had a show on the deck, you know, when
yeah.
there was, he had the only power in town on
wow.
his truck.
Okay.
So, yeah.
The power.
Of, you know, to be able to run a show going, hey, we're still, Pensacola's still here. And that was what he had brought us on so we could have that conversation
yeah.
that the Gulf Coast wasn't gone.
Right.
It wasn't destroyed. There was.
Right. Yeah. But one of the shows that I saw you on, you were in New York in the studio, right? Or was
it was, yes.
That one, I think.
We were in the studio.
What
a crazy studio.
Yeah, tell me about it, because that's early morning news, and that's like just like a fascinating thing to me. Like, how chaotic is that?
It was really, what they do is you are in the center of this room, and they have on booms, all the guys are riding their cameras, so they're flying all around you. and they're zooming around the whole place, and there's the giant, these giant secondary TVs you're going through. So it's like,
it's a lot going on.
You got to stay focused. Don't look at that guy. But it's really cool. It's just so amazing. Everything's
every
on
angle.
A boom, and they're zooming in on you. It's like, yeah.
Well, you did a great job, and you didn't look like you had any activity going on, because you were like spoke very well, and you were very engaged in talking about, I think, the menu and all that that meant. But it was one, like, I've had a lot of opportunities over the years, you know, because of the magazine. It has afforded me a lot of to enter doors that I most likely would have never entered before. And I consider one of those doors that night that we went there, and I was in the James Beard. I'm like, oh my God, like, how is this happening? This is like so cool.
Right.
And you've been there 6 times. So, and then I know you just came back from, I think, were you in New York fairly recently with our local TDC?
Yes. Yeah. We did a thing in the Flatiron building.
Yeah. So oh, you did?
Yes. It was a beautiful setting. This really
I love
cool,
that building.
Yeah. And it's such a cool, the interior where they've haven't covered it with plaster. It's like, you've got the old pylons and everything. Yeah. It's a really cool space with monster windows.
Uh-huh.
They really did some really nice stuff there.
And so you, the TDC, for people that don't know, they take you and other people that are representative of our culture, our food culture,
right,
and, you know, architecture, whatever, that they can, you know, take our area on the road, so to speak, and you're an ambassador when you go there. So when you're there, you're meeting a lot of press, you're cooking for people. And what did you cook for that particular event?
So for that one, we brought in some crab. Mm-hmm. We were doing some black-eyed pea fritters. We did our sole rolls.
Oh, good.
There was, we brought in some little grouper bites,
mm-hmm,
with a butter bean gravy.
And you get to talk. Do you speak at all, or are you?
We
just
speak a little bit, but mainly we were kind of tasked with speaking with the press individually. So the guys that are there, as you go through, instead of as a thing, you actually have a one-on-one with the press for that type of stuff.
Well, that's pretty, it's effective, right?
It's a very effective
way for everybody to basically spread their wares and talk about things. What is, do you have a favorite restaurant? I know that that's probably asking, like, if you have a favorite child, but do you?
I think it's like the children. Your favorite is the last one you had.
Oh, okay. Right? What's the last one you had? The Farm and Fire?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's like, doesn't mean James is my favorite. The children.
Yeah, don't. don't go there. No, I'm only kidding.
Yeah. Farm and Fire has been a lot of fun as the new developments, things like that. So.
A crowd favorite too, don't you think?
It is, definitely.
It's so beautiful, and the food is amazing, and the vibe inside. And in addition to, that view is hard to replicate. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Right.
So that was a good move.
Yeah, it's good. I've managed to put restaurants in the only 3 old buildings left in South Walton.
Yes. So. I know. Isn't that great? And then the bay across the street.
Unless it rains.
Oh, yeah. Well, I hope they stay the oldest buildings. I hope there's no plans to,
not at all. No,
because we need
loves
it.
Them.
We don't want anything new.
No.
You know, because you have to keep the culture, right? That's what I think. And that's what I love about going in the bay. But on both sides of the road there, that's amazing. All right, so I'll pivot here for a second, but take us back to your childhood days and your pilot. Your dad was a pilot in the Navy. Okay, so I think if I remember speaking to you before, that your upbringing and the immense amount of travel and relocation that you did, like, really exposed you to cuisine around the world. Can you further upon like that? Because that's like where it all began for you.
Sure. So dad was a Navy pilot.
Yeah.
So of course we lived, did the usual. I was born in flight training in Pensacola, everybody else. And then, we've lived in Iceland, you know, and from Iceland you live in all of Europe because you hop on planes.
Like half hour.
Back then, everybody jumps on there's the old triple wing.
Yeah.
So it's like, So we've, and then, you know, the exposure. Then we moved to Coronado. Mm-hmm. And then the exposure from all of Dad's travels through Vietnam, unfortunately, through all that kind of stuff. So it was, we've always eaten locally and produced it and brought back the stuff. And then, you know, the Navy culture just envelops all of the flavors of you know, all the international flavors.
And what was one of your favorite places that you went regarding food scene from your youth? That you just like, wow, this is like so good. This
just,
is amazing.
Well, just as a kid, I was I loved London because the guys were doing the fish and chips.
Oh yeah, right how there. Can you not like that?
Yeah, outside of Buckingham Palace.
Yes,
there's like that. We tormented the guards. We ate the fish and chips. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. So. So tell me about like a major highlight that happened in your career that might have been just either one like super significant for you or that it was life-changing and that it pivoted you to go a different direction. Like I don't know what that might have been. I know one thing, you were in Pensacola for a while and then you made the move out here. And I think that, you know, I won't speak for you, but it looks like when you came out here is when you like completely had your mojo to like completely do the Jim Shirley thing and like rock it.
Right. So we'd done well in Pensacola and we'd helped build a lot of
stuff.
I was fortunate to be at the right time when there was the growth of the restaurant scene because there wasn't one.
Right.
There was more like,
So,
then I was trying to do this farm to table thing because I was involved with the Southern Foodway Alliance,
right?
And we were trying to. I had all these great seeds and all these things that we needed to be grown in Santa Rosa, Escambia County, and I literally bought the seed for the farmers and gave it to them and said, "Listen, I'll buy everything that you grow."
Oh.
And into the season, they had all grown squash and zucchini. And
you championed
and they gave
that?
My seeds and they gave me my seeds back.
Oh. Wow.
So they're selling they get 25 cents a pound for what they can sell. The rest of it rots on the street because it all comes ripe at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't do any of that stuff. So I had this guy that runs the Institute for Human and Machine Cognition, Dr. Ken Ford.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, tell me about him.
Oh, he's
Robert Davis was bringing him up in a meeting a couple weeks ago.
So he's like the world culinary doctor. So he had been one of the heads of NASA. He was on the National Science Foundation, one of the heads of, so made him one of the kings of Antarctica. But he was a food guy. He was a super foodie.
Did not know he was a food guy.
He was a super foodie. I mean, they literally had John T. Edge was hired by Bon Appetit to follow him around and write an article about what this guy was eating. But for me, I'm anywhere in the world. I call him and go, "Listen, I'm in Paris."
But how do you know him that you can make a phone call?
He was my neighbor. He was the institute was right down the street.
Okay.
And he was there and he was like coaching me through the stuff. And he was like, well, I think one of the judges for Jane's Beer too. But I would call him and he would say, "Go here, look for this guy, go to the ball bartender, and he knows what's going
in
on.
Paris.
Order this, order that, yeah. Go to Joel Robuchon's for lunch.
No.
Get this, get the 10 course. Sit at the bar, get the 10 course.
Are you by yourself or are you with somebody
at
this time?
I was with somebody else.
Okay.
But it still didn't matter. It was no matter what.
Right.
But anyway, so he had introduced me to Robert Davis because we were doing some things.
Ah.
I was doing like a Shiraz and oyster tasting for whatever reason.
Where?
Back when? In Pensacola.
With Robert?
I invited Robert.
Oh, okay.
And I told him about my problems with the farmers. And he goes, "I'm doing a charrette with the Seaside Institute in Pienza. And I have the women that started the farm-to-table part of Chez Panay coming. So if you come with us, we can all work together." So we did that and we sat at the back of the charrette, snuck out, went to the osterette and ate the grilled cheese, which is just broiled cheese with wine. Oh, we're supposed to be in the meeting, but
well, of course. You're a rebel. You're a renegade.
Well, he was with me.
Robert was with you. Well, he is too. This is such a good story.
But so we became friends, And he offered me the space at Great Southern.
Unbelievable. So. Wow. So I would never in a million years have known what you were talking about had I not been on the Seaside Institute board, which I've been on for a year and a half.
Right.
And they're going to Copenhagen in September next year in 2024. You should come with.
Sure.
And that's to study, you know, the sprawl of automobiles that they were able to transition to cycling community. We're championing that, trying to get that done here
sure.
too. But they haven't done that in a while, and it's reviving the travel abroad Pienzas, like you say, and that's going to be the first one that we've been on in a long time. And because that's such a cool story from before, you should definitely come with us.
Yeah, so I love the whole premise of that whole trip was the agricultural edge.
Wow.
Look out your window, uh-huh. and what do you see? You see the white cows, you see these fields, you see the goats. Uh-huh. This is what you're eating when you're in this place. So you're, you know,
local sourcing.
Dining is, yeah, local yeah. sourcing, and also making your culinary parts as part of the local culture.
Unbelievable. So. What, did you have something to do, too, with anything in the Seaside School, too, that you were doing some things? Were you doing any teaching or whatever with the kids and the growing? I mean, no, I know Emerald had some things back there, but you were part of that, too,
sure,
right?
Sure, we all did.
Talk
everybody
about that.
Did that. So they would well, have,
who
they would
championed have a, that? Was that a Seaside Institute? Was that a school? Who was the head of that?
Yeah, so even way back when we started, I was trying to get the school, all schools, to build a little garden. Mm-hmm. Like that. So I had asked him if Robert Davis yeah. if he would he said there's you have this empty space right here at the corner, why shouldn't you put a garden in there?
Yeah,
so they did, and that was the start of that, and then they built it into their curriculum,
right?
And then we would have they would have chefs come through, and we all volunteered. Mm-hmm. Shimmer Shore,
yeah,
Emerald, it's like everybody took the time to do it.
Yeah, right. That's so
it was fun. It was a great
so
thing.
Great
yeah.
You know, the more I think about it, the older I get and the more I've been here, you know, and I know you're, you know, a merchant, you know, and but that sounds like a much more intimate experience that you had with Robert than just like a transactional, like, you know, deal that you have as a tenant in there. He really, he is so interesting and has such a wide array of interest and just thinking, constantly thinking and moving forward. It has been an eye-opener for me when I've circled back, because I had worked for him for a long time ago, like 30 years ago in Seaside, and haven't, you know, had too much interaction since until recently. He's amazing.
Yeah, no, and he's so well-respected around the world.
I know.
So, like, the people that are showing up for his talks are just incredible. It's like...
Yeah, Jordan and I are going to England next week to go to a new urbanism week-long event at Poundbury, where Prince Charles had taken a lot of cues from Robert Davis and Andreas Dwani on new urbanism 30 years ago, and in using those principles to create his own town called Poundbury. And we're going there to basically study and learn about that, which is all those people from around the globe are going to be, and they all know Robert, because oh, yeah. Robert is the, you know.
No, that's those are all the people that have been at all these events. That are, it's like always they're really a bunch of crazy alphas, but they really do plan all the cities in the world.
I know. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Do you know that the county sent out an RFP like about, I don't know, 6 months or a year ago to get a land planner in here to... land plan to Funiac and Freeport, and that DPZ Andreas Dwani was awarded the job 2 weeks ago. So that means that everything that we know what that means, like land
sure.
planning,
yeah.
purposeful development, connecting the south to the north, and that is now solidified and underway, where he's going to be championing that. So what he did at Seaside, how cool is that?
Yeah, no, and he really knows how to do all that.
Yeah.
So. That's great.
But that's unbelievable. That's so crazy. So you have so many awards. You're so heavily decorated. But tell me how important it is to you to have won Wine Spectator of the Year Award, the Award of Excellence in the past.
It was a goal I had back in 2005.
Uh-huh.
So, and in Pensacola.
It was a goal?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was
because
a goal.
Because were you totally into wine? Did you love it? Did you study it?
I did. Completely, yeah. That was all part of everything. And I wrote all the lists in the past and something like that. So I had done wine travel, 3 weeks in Australia with all the stuff. I used to have to explain when I would apply for my award, I would have to explain why a place called the Fish House had so many Shirazes on it. So during that period, it was like Pensacola was Shiraz madness. They drank Shiraz with everything.
Really? Because you introduced it and they liked
it? Yeah, yeah. It was all big jammy things.
Yeah.
They were mm-hmm. really not great with fish, but they didn't care.
Yeah, because it's good.
They like said, this is what they want.
So. Right. That's unbelievable.
So it's a lot of fun, and we've been continuing that through with all the restaurants.
So that's always to
be able to build a, you know, yeah. make sure that you have a balanced wine list, you
uh-huh.
know, the right mix of things, and
yeah.
it makes sense with what you're
right.
feeding people.
Right, yeah. right. So do you think that the food business that you're in has changed, and from this vantage point, that do people still like to go out to dine, you know, because there's been like a shift like since COVID, you know, and maybe even, well, I don't think it was before COVID, but to some degree, I think a little bit after COVID, like what have you seen? Like, do people like flock back to eating out again? Has there been any change in consumer desires that you had to realize and go, huh, we're going to do something different here so that we can like make sure that they come gather?
Well, you know, we had to do all the spacing stuff during COVID
yeah.
and things like that. But I think that, you know, for a lot of everybody that kind of moves to this area, they like to go out to eat.
Yeah, which is good.
Dining. Yeah.
Which is good when you have 8 restaurants.
Sure. Yes. Yeah. yeah it really is. So many of the cities are still battling,
yeah.
you know, the issues there.
Yeah.
And they really didn't, a lot of them didn't even open until September of last year.
Right.
So
wasn't it like a blessing that you were here and not in a city? Because you know, we all had a way different experience here than other people. Like New York, like half the restaurants like didn't even stay open.
No, they didn't stand a chance. So many of my friends all over the country where they kept the lockdowns going. It's like, you know,
yeah.
like I said, I think we flew in to see Harry Styles with my youngest daughter in the last September.
In New York?
They just dropped the yeah. mask mandate as we flew in. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
We hadn't seen one.
Right. Like, so yesterday, we hadn't seen one for 2 years before that. Because nobody was really obeying it, right?
Right.
So tell me a restaurant that you've been to in your career. Could be young, could be yesterday or whatever, that you went and had a dining experience that you went, you've got to be kidding me, this is amazing.
So probably, you know, 20 years ago, I went to Le Bernardin,
mm-hmm.
Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
It was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
The chef spoke with me.
Okay.
It was all
oh.
things like that. And Rubichon's restaurant in
mm-hmm.
Paris was
mm-hmm.
another one of those.
Did you go there?
10 courses.
That same,
10 courses,
that same,
yes.
That's where you went?
Yes.
Oh, tell me about that.
10 courses for lunch.
Oh, okay. Did you take a nap after?
So amazing. Everything
it was.
Every dish was perfect. You didn't have to take a nap.
Yeah,
you're,
that's so
you're fine
amazing.
Because it didn't come in a hurry, but it was all just perfect.
So Ken Ford recommended that?
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah. Wow.
That was great.
When's the last time you saw him? I really want to invite him to some events at Seaside this year.
It's been about a year.
Okay.
About a year. So I know he's they opened another place in Ocala. So
maybe oh, that he owns?
Well, that he runs.
Okay.
The Institute for Human and Machine Cognition.
Oh, yes.
So what they do is they're an interface between humans and machines.
Yes.
So it would be everything from, you know, working on the halo where you think about things and they move and that kind of stuff to
yeah.
the, you know, the new space yeah. Suits.
Uh-huh.
They're designing those
really?
and designing moon rovers and things like Mars rovers,
mm.
that type of stuff. And by doing that, they brought in, I remember when he was doing the new space suits,
mm.
he brought in all the old astronauts in their space suits. And he said, "What do you remember about this? was good or bad. He goes, it's probably like your old Volkswagen, Jim. He goes, you remember that you had to do this, and you had to do this to keep it going. And these were like, what are, you know, where are the buttons? Should they be in the right spot? So it was really interesting.
So interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I want to meet him. I am fascinated by this guy.
Yes.
For sure. So you were chairman of the Florida Restaurant and Lodging Association, and you've been on the board for many years. Tell me about all that goes into that, because I know there's a lot, and there's a really big dinner at like the end of the year too, right? Like governor comes to it and all that. So who are some of the big people that you've cooked for when you were part of that? Like it's usually...
Well, sure. You know, with along those lines, we did the governor's inauguration and things like that. And then they also asked me to do I was chosen for the National Seafood Cook-Off in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And then I've cooked for, you know, most of the legislative branch. But, you know, really it's our thing with the Restaurant Association is to educate people and kind of protect our industry from things. We have, you know, 10,000 members, but that includes, you know, Hilton. And,
Wow. Stressful is it to cook for an inauguration of our governor?
It was very interesting. It was the first one.
Which governor?
Oh, DeSantis. But I cook for, I actually had a private room set up in Pensacola for Bush when he was the governor. So I really liked that guy, by the way.
Bush?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was fun.
Yeah. But also, he was educational. He was like a compassionate person and still very business friendly.
So, but a lot of stress. He loved food.
Loved food, yeah.
Really? Well, good. You got to love someone that loves food, right? When you're a chef.
Yeah. I had this great one. We had, Bush, not Jeb, but, you know, Jeb and Dick Cheney had come through. And they were, so it was like we were in this lockdown phase at the fish house. And they were, we went through, you know, this super security thing. We're all in the back, and they both look at me, and they go, "Are we all family here?" I was like, "Yes, sir, we're all family." And they just turn and start shoveling sushi into their mouths.
Are you kidding me? I don't believe
it. It was crazy.
Oh my god! Like, so they like sushi, and you have good sushi.
They were trying to. What it was is they were about to get on. They weren't going to get fed again. And they were going to fly to Tallahassee. They were like, they haven't fed us all day.
Unbelievable.
Me and my brother were staring at him like,
you needed a photo of that
like,
one.
They were like, it's okay. They haven't fed us all day.
Oh my God. That's like a movie. You know? That's crazy. Wow. So what inspirational tips might you give to someone starting out as a chef and someone starting out as a restaurateur?
Put some Teflon on, especially on your back. It's a lot of work. Yeah. It's a lot of work. Count on it. Mm-hmm. Count on it being it's not an easy start. It's a lot of long, hard things.
You gotta love it.
You better love it.
You have to love it.
You better love it. And do your homework.
Yeah.
Do your homework. Mm-hmm. Do your homework. Don't forget to count your beans.
To what?
Count your beans.
Count your beans, yeah. Counting your beans are very important.
Otherwise,
everywhere you go.
You won't, there's no one to help you otherwise.
Yeah. Well, you have been so successful. Tell me, what is the magic that you've been able to weather so many different things economically, oil spill, pandemic, and just regular running a business? Like, what is some magic that you've been able to be so strong and running multiple operations and keeping the quality up, the interest, and delivering on restaurants and different concepts?
There's only one thing that does that. It's your people.
Yeah.
Your crew. Mm-hmm. Your crew will do everything. Mm-hmm. It's like everything else is, you know, it's like if you don't have a great crew, you're not going to be, if they're not all in.
Yeah.
You're not going to make it.
Totally
so
true.
It really is. They are so important, every single one of them.
Yes.
Every part.
You are right. So right. And I know your daughter, Madison, Shirley, is a big part of your organization right now. And I've seen you two in action, in meetings and different things. And I think it is just so special and sweet for me to be able to just be an outsider looking in at a father and a daughter working together. And by the way, she is smart. She's a smart girl. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree on that one, from you to her. So it must be a pretty magical thing.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's wonderful to have her back out, because she was in Oregon for so long. Mm-hmm. And that was our thing. It was like we wanted her to be her own person and have her own life before she would come back to us.
Yeah.
So we're so glad to have her back. Yeah.
Well, she's amazing.
Yeah, thank you.
She's a great girl. Thanks. Really, really amazing. Well, thank you for sharing your insights. Thank you for being here. I know you are a very, very busy guy and that you're hard to pin down, and we are so happy that you're here.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing with us.
It was so nice. What a beautiful place.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. All right, everyone. Great. Hope you enjoyed this conversation with the legendary chef and awesome guy, Jim Shirley. Have a good day, everybody.